Welcome to AI Safe and Sound, an expert podcast series from Munich Re. Together with various players from the AI industry, it explores AI's potential, provides inspiring perspectives on the technology, as well as challenges involved and how to overcome them.
Welcome back to AI Safe and Sound. I'm Alexandra, an underwriter of AI performance risks at Munich Re and your host. On today's episode, we'll talk about why AI is so critical in the effort to tackle e-commerce fraud and how merchants can implement it to protect you as customers and their business. Since we looked into this industry, it's been fascinating and a little scary to see all the new types of fraud. People really are getting creative. And here to give their thoughts on this is Susanna, market lead for the EMEA region in the InsureAI team and responsible for underwriting and business development.
Hi, Alex. Glad to be here. Fraud detection and prevention with AI is certainly a fascinating field. And after all the work that goes into structuring these partnerships with AI providers, I'm happy to share a bit of the journey and the learnings.
And Amir, the founder and CEO of Fugu, a company providing a fraud detection solution for e-commerce. They guarantee its performance, and this is insured by the Munich Re Group. Amir, thanks for joining us today when the weather outside you looks so sunny. Where are you joining us from?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm joining out of Tel Aviv, which is certainly sunny, not to mention hot. I'm glad for the opportunity to bring out this topic of fraud prevention to your audience. 3 years ago, when we started Fugu, we learned that there is a lot of inefficiencies in fraud prevention. Many of transactions were declined for the wrong reasons, simply because there was not enough information to validate. That reminds me of my grandpa, who knew nothing about the internet many years ago, but he always said that we should give the customers the benefit of the doubt, buy some time, gather more information, and take better decisions. I think there's a huge business opportunity in weaving that old philosophy into modern e-commerce world, and I'm glad to discuss it with the audience today.
What a great story and such a pertinent message. Since March 2020, people all over the world have contributed to the biggest shopping revolution in Europe and the US since the development of the shopping mall. The pandemic led to a surge in online spending, accelerating the shift from buying goods in physical stores to e-commerce stores. And of course, while this was a huge opportunity for both customers and merchants, it isn't without its challenges. Retailers might be used to theft, but shoplifting now looks a little different. Fraud in e-commerce isn't just stealing someone else's credit card. It includes things like friendly fraud. And these new types of fraud are growing. A study from Juniper Research predicted that online payment fraud losses could exceed $200 billion for the period of between 2021 to 2025. Amir, what does friendly fraud and these other types of fraud look like, and how does Fugu work to prevent it?
First, I would like to emphasize that there's nothing too friendly with friendly fraud. It's simply a nice word describing someone who's abusing the system to steal goods or take goods without payment. The phenomena of friendly fraud is around people using their own credit cards, their own identities to buy stuff online and then find the ways during using the dispute systems not to pay for it. The challenge around friendly fraud is that you would never know if a fraudster or a friendly fraudster may turn into fraud or not. There's no way that you could predict that on the checkout page.
So, Amir, if I buy a shirt now with my own credit card and then decide to just get it for free and claim that either someone stole my credit card or process the return and send back the empty box, how does Fugu's AI spot that what I've just done is fraud? What information are you gathering? And how do you do so without constantly flagging all of my purchases as potential fraud, which I imagine would be really frustrating for an honest customer.
The only way to identify it is to continue monitoring that transaction, that order, after the payment to find out whether something changes in the sentiment, where something changed in the transactions. For example, did the guy or someone who bought it erase his contact details, for example? Did he went to find out cancellation policy? Did he submit any form? Did he have any interactions with the support that has bad sentiment? All those kind of things, measuring also the cooperation of the real customer, because the friendly fraudster would not cooperate with you. So if you continue to monitor, you'll be able to deal with that phenomena much better. The problem with friendly fraud, that you may think that something is suspicious, right, and just rule it out, but you may lose some very good customers. For example, we see that a lot with the usage of tempiness. Because people are, when they want to commit fraud, they will submit an email that is a temp email, uses those servers that forward that to their real email after that, because they don't want you to know them. That is very suspicious. With Fugu, we are able to track and see whether you open those emails and kind of separate the good guys who have the reasons for using a temp emails or the fraudsters. That's the way we are very successful. I think the main challenge with friendly fraud that it challenges the current solutions and asks them to record more information. It requires more information. It requires information that is spread over time. It's not all available at the checkout page. So if I want to sum up the challenge with that phenomena, it is not only the fact that you need more data points, but you need to collect them more over time.
That's a really interesting perception on how quickly and spontaneously ordinary people could just decide to commit fraud. I imagined it was similarly organized to what you just said, but I kind of had in mind a group of dedicated fraudsters or hackers almost in a dark room somewhere.
Amir, from the first discussions, we found Fugu's approach to dealing with this risk quite unique. Analyzing the buyer's behavior after checkout and before shipment is a novel concept. Most of the solutions we have seen in the market take the decision of approving or rejecting credit card transactions at the point of checkout and miss out on very valuable data, such as those interactions like whether buyers open the confirmation email, contact the customer service, and so on. There is no doubt these novel ways of using AI to fight fraud are necessary. 200 billion in fraud losses by 2021. That's a very scary number for any merchant selling online. And the reality is that due to its statistical nature and the very dynamic world surrounding these solutions, even the best AI can fail. So the losses can't be reduced to zero. Someone needs to cover them.
And how do we reconcile AI being really necessary to improve operations on the one hand, with the understanding that it does also make mistakes? How do we bridge this gap?
Yeah, so for those who don't know who Munich Re is, we are a globally leading reinsurance and primary insurance company. Risk management is in our DNA. Due to the various risks emerging with the advancement of AI, performance, fairness, and the resulting liabilities, we have seen that many decision makers are still shying away from buying or rolling out AI at scale. Our team at Munich Re absorbs part of these risks through AI insurance, helping to enable the adoption of the technology. In fraud prevention, due to the highly dynamic buying behaviors, the ever-changing fraud strategies from attackers, and the many variables to keep track of, using AI is very important. Yet, this dynamic nature of the field results in a higher exposure to risks such as data drift. So getting protection becomes equally relevant.
You make a good point, Susanna, that it seems companies expect AI to be an integral component to ultimately solve their problems. They don't want to just buy an AI solution these days, but they're really using AI across all their lines of business or across all their operations. So with this risk transfer, Munich Re can really decisively support the integration of that AI. Amir, looking at these merchants' experience, what do you see as the main challenges for e-commerce platforms or providers that are using and integrating AI today?
Yeah, there are quite a few challenges, I have to admit. One of them would be, I think the first and foremost, would be tailoring the machine learning algorithms and capabilities to match the specific merchant appetite for risk. Usually we're used to algorithms that are horizontally available to all merchants, and that does not really make sense for someone from gaming industry to use the same algorithms from other industries, and some low margin transactions might be willing to take less risk, et cetera, et cetera. So managing that difference, it's got to be a combination of this horizontal model and merchant-specific model or rules, et cetera. I think that's one of the biggest challenges on that. The other thing is, how do we measure or collect as much information? Because at the end of the day, machine learning algorithms and artificial intelligence are relied on the data that we provide, right? You know, the data we collect and feed the algorithms to. And how we make sure that we collect as many information as we can, that means that we need to weave those machine learning recommendations to the right time in the process. And we cannot enforce a single point in time that should be used. And we'll talk about many reasons requiring that, no longer taking a snapshot at the checkout page, giving you recommendations, will no longer help you grow your business. You'll need something better than that.
And clearly, many companies agree. The e-commerce fraud detection market will likely be worth almost $70 billion by 2025, with enterprise companies spending 10% of their annual e-commerce revenue on payment fraud management. 10% seems like a really high number to me, but I guess it goes to show just how critical fraud detection is for ongoing profitability. Susanna, you work a lot on supporting solutions like Fugu to go to market with the best chance of success. So where in this fraud detection value chain does insurance sit?
Well, Munich Re's insurance solution enables Fugu's chargeback guarantee. In essence, if Fugu's algorithm approves a transaction and that transaction ends up being fraudulent, Fugu pays back the chargeback amount to the client. Munich Re stands behind Fugu to back those payments with an insurance cover. To execute this cover, apart from the underwriting work that you mentioned, Alex, our team of technical experts conducted a risk assessment on Fugu's technology. I think it's worth mentioning this here because they do a thorough due diligence, looking into the end-to-end data science process and the historical performance data. The fact that Fugu gets our insurance backing means that they successfully passed this test, and Fugu's customers can also see their confidence in the technology's performance reinforced after this due diligence by us as a neutral third party. Our team ensures similar guarantees of AI performance across industries like agriculture, renewable energies, or cybersecurity. These covers add a feature of trust to the AI product, which most of the competitors don't have, which results in differentiation. What I find particularly interesting in Fugu's vertical is the fact that chargeback guarantees are not uncommon. And because of this, there are many discussions going on regarding A, whether these guarantees should even exist, and B, whether insurance backing is even needed.
And what do you think? Are guarantees beneficial and should they be backed by insurance?
So my quick thoughts on both are, the opponents to chargeback guarantees argue that protections bring the wrong incentives to get a solution like Fugu's to truly fight fraud, as the merchants could get just insurance payments, which would cover the chargeback losses. I personally wonder whether an insurer would be willing to cover this risk without an AI-based prevention. So the combination of technology and guarantee insurances is the perfect solution to fight fraud and helps to be protected if the fraud losses soar. And regarding the need for insurance backing, we have heard some providers express concern that the liabilities from guarantees could threaten their balance sheets to levels it can't handle. Insurance protection gives the benefit of financial robustness for the providers, which also gives their clients more certainty. In the event of unforeseen loss scenarios, the provider is protected under the policy and is therefore not threatened in its existence. And in general, we are willing to explore covers of up to 90% of the losses in order to disburden the balance sheet of the provider through insurance. Another benefit of insurance is that it also relieves providers from the need to build up financial reserves for large losses. And at the risk of going into too much detail, I wanted to add that a factor that is of interest from a business point of view is that the insurance backing can be seen as a sort of a capital instrument, improving the economics of the guarantees for providers, because it could be considered cheaper than other sources of capital like debt or equity. So going back to Fugu's case, I believe merchants can access a very attractive product here. Fugu effectively promises to reduce chargebacks and fixes them at very compelling levels for merchants. And from that point, merchants don't need to worry about fraud. Fugu and Munich Re take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Amir, you offer risk transfer in your business model, and it sounds like Fugu needs to transfer its own risk as well. And a guarantee sounds like a great way to do it. What benefits have you seen in this chain of de-risking operations for your clients, but also for your own company?
Yeah, I think the basic value here is ability to de-risking and outsource part of the risk to a much larger organization. But I think specifically for startup, there are even hidden layers here that, in my opinion, are much more impactful. What is a startup? Startup is on a quest to convince larger and larger organizations to put their confidence in the startup, right? Part of the confidence is the perceptions of those customers of your startup ability to absorb risk. And when you're coming, you know, a group of 10 to 50 people, 15 people based out of Israel or around the world, and you tell them, hey, I could take your payment fraud risk, well, they will ask some questions. And the fact that we are saying, hey, we went through a due diligence process, we did underwriting with Munich Re, that brings, you know, that bridges and that gap in confidence and expedite the process of them relying on us. So that's one thing that we've been experiencing as very, very impactful, far beyond de-risking part of the risk. So that's really, really important for us. And the other things, I think the whole underwriting process matures your operation, right? It forces you in a way, or it teaches you, it guides you, right, to work in a certain manner that will follow up to the highest standards, which puts us in a much better position to go and sell this liability shift to the biggest beverage company out of Mexico, to the largest payment provider here in Israel, and very soon the largest fashion retailer, online fashion retailer here in Israel. So not just the balance sheet issues, which is certainly a value here, but the quest of convincing customers to rely on you is giving a lot of backwind throughout that.
That's great advice for any startups out there, and it's really exciting to watch you grow. What about the market more broadly? How do you see that growing, and how do you see it changing?
The focus on e-commerce is shifted from growth, gathering more users, gathering more buyers, getting the traffic, to optimizations. I would like to get the most out of my current traffic. Leak in revenue stream is no longer acceptable. Another thing is, we've discussed that fraud has changed. It's moved from an imposter's world, when people steal identities and use them, to a friendly fraudsters. And friendly fraudster is not necessarily someone who is claiming he didn't do the transaction. As we discussed, this could be also a return fraud. New type of fraud that are done by the cardholder himself. You need to find solutions. You need to find solutions for those type of fraud who will be evolving more and more as we move on, and the physical world and the virtual world are converging. And sometimes physical purchase would be an online purchase, right? In many cases, think about those self-service stores and things like that. The third thing that happened is that the relationship with the customer is no longer a handshake in which you exchange details at the cashier, right? It's actually a relationship happening post-payment with the fact that you have to deliver, with subscription models, with buy now, pay later, which is high, considered to be very risky right now. With splitting the installments, all those kind of things of new payment methods have created a situation in which we have a relationship. The payment is actually a relationship happening post-payment. And that relationship needs to be monitored, because otherwise you will expose yourself to fraud, because, listen, fraudsters now have more opportunities to perform the fraud itself, right? It doesn't have to be at the checkout. So this is one thing. You can no longer rely on a snapshot you've done at the checkout. You need to continuously monitor that. On top of that, and I think maybe we could elaborate on that later, but there is also a convergence. It's not only prediction. It's about the recovery. Prediction tools and fraud prediction tools should be consolidated and tightly integrated with payment recovery and things like that that are still done manually in many cases. So it will be related to KYC and other stuff.
Regarding the different fraud prevention markets like KYC, AML, I have seen actually several exciting AI-based anti-fraud solutions coming from Israel, detecting and preventing account takeovers, credential theft, or more sophisticated threats like scams, deepfakes. All of these solutions are quite interesting for us to potentially back with our insurance cover. What is your perspective about the current solutions out there?
I don't think in the future we'll have to have a payment fraud solution, a regulatory risk solution, which is AML, for example, a KYC solution, or even credit risk solution. I think they all need to be weaved together, and they will consolidate, and there will be some consolidation or partnerships, or even one, you know, company that will challenge all of them and provide a one-stop solution, because at the end of the day, organizations want to work with one provider. So the fact that we will be exposed to several new uncertainties that we could not even think about right now. We don't know how would the future payment look like. It will all rely on much more continuous monitoring on data and risk analysis. Think about it. It's not only about predicting risk right now. It's actually showing the evolution of risk over time. Because remember, we are in the phase of the optimization. We can no longer say no or decline things, right? We need to be very accurate. Otherwise, our customers, the merchants, the e-commerce guys, would not want to work with us because we're losing business to them. So we'll evolve on the algorithms, we'll make them more continuous, but we'll have to explore more and integrate more to gather much more data points than we used to.
Thank you both so much for your time, Amir and Susanna. While our options as friendly or spontaneous fraudsters seems to have ended very quickly, it's been great and really enlightening to hear about how both your teams are contributing to improving this industry of fraud prevention with AI.
Thanks, Alex. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Alex. It's always a pleasure, and this time in particular, very interesting. Thank you.
Our listeners and I would love to hear an update from Fugu in the future. As e-commerce becomes so prolific in our lives, it seems like the need to keep ahead of fraudulent transactions is critical to us all, whichever markets we shop in around the world. So to learn more about Fugu, their website is linked in the description of today's podcast episode. And I hope that you'll join us for the next episode of AI Safe and Sound.